Well, I appreciate the congregation that's here this evening. It's encouraging to see each one of you here tonight. I desire an interest in your prayers this evening. I feel like I have a very important message to deliver this evening by the grace of God. I'd like to start in the 26th chapter of Acts. And we're going to pick up here at the 12th verse. And this is where Paul was making his defense before King Agrippa of his conversion. And so he is speaking to King Agrippa at this time, and he's telling him the story of his conversion. And he said in the 12th verse, "Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commissioned from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. 18th verse says, To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. And I feel like in many ways this evening that verses 16 through 18, that it spells out God's plan really for every one of us in one way or another. God wants everyone that's here this evening to be a minister and a witness, to help open the eyes of those in the world that are lost, that they might see light. I believe that the Lord has a plan for every one of us that are here. And I know that you, many times people may say, well, I don't feel worthy. I don't feel worthy to do that, for that calling. None of us are worthy in that respect. There's a little phrase that says, preach the word always, and when necessary, use words. All of us can have a place to preach the gospel. And God has an interest in every one of us understanding what His plan is for us. And as to worthiness, we find that in Paul's case, was Paul, or Saul at this time, was he worthy? No. The scripture here said that Jesus Himself said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? There's no greater indictment than that, is there? To be told that you're persecuting Jesus Christ. And He told Saul, this is where you are. This is where you've been. The life, your life up until this point, from this point and backwards, you have been persecuting me, Jesus Christ. But He didn't stop there. He said to Saul, He said, but, thankful for that word, but, however, rise. He said, and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. He had a plan for Saul to share the gospel. Why did Paul, or Saul at that time, why was it that the Lord needed him to go out into the world and share the gospel message? It was because the eyes of the lost that are all around us, need to be opened. The eyes of the lost need to be opened and hear. Their ears need to be opened to hear the good news of the gospel and to begin to hear about things that are eternal. In the 29th chapter of Proverbs, in the 18th verse, it said, "Where there is no vision, what? The people perish." Where there's no vision, well, then the people are going to perish. Where there is no revelation, where there is no understanding of God's Word, people are going to perish because there is a less than adequate understanding of what light is, what truth is. And without a vision, without a revelation for us ourselves, if God doesn't give us a revelation, if we don't open our ears and look to the Lord for a revelation from on high, then nobody that's here tonight is going to be able to get a hold of the revelation that God has for you, for your life, and the plan that He has for you to go in into all the world and preach the gospel. This evening, here's the thing. All of us that are here, no doubt, we all have goals and we have objectives and we have desires for our own life, don't we? That's normal. That's not wrong. It's not sin. The Lord made us that way. All of us tonight, we spend a lot of time in our lives pursuing the things that we have an interest in accomplishing. Do we not? And we have a great interest for ourselves and for our family members and no doubt for the loved ones that are around us in our sphere of influence, those that we come in contact with. But I wonder tonight what our vision is for the lost. What is your vision for the lost? I know that we have a vision for ourselves many times, or if not a vision, we have wants and desires and we're striving for those things. You know, we can get things in our mind that we want and we can almost put blinders on and we are going after what it is we want to achieve, and people spend years and years and lifetimes to achieve what it is that they have in their own mind that they want to achieve. But what about your vision for the lost? What about your vision for those that don't know God, that have a less than adequate understanding of what truth and what light is? I'm challenged by this because so often we're so apt to become so self-focused on what it is that I want, that I miss getting a hold of the revelation that God has for me and the plan that He has for me to take the gospel to the world. Did you know that every single person that's in here tonight, we could go by and just mention every one of your names. God knows every individual that's in here, and God has a plan. He has a desire for you personally to go into the world and take His gospel, maybe in a little different forms. Not everybody's the Apostle Paul. In fact, maybe there's never one been an Apostle Paul. But He has a place for you. And He wants us to go into the world with the gospel. What was the last thing that Jesus told His disciples before He left? Before He ascended up into heaven, He said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel." Jesus had just left. He came down from His place in heaven and He condescended to men of low estate. And He became obedient unto death, the death of the cross, because He loved us. Because He wanted to make a plan that we can all be saved.
And then before he left, though he didn't want it to all just be for naught, he told his disciples, those that had understanding of the truth, he said, "Now you go into the world and preach the gospel." The scripture said that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God loved the world so much that he gave the thing that was most important to him, that the lost would be saved. And God and the Lord Jesus Christ, it said that he took action. God didn't just think about it, but it said he gave his only begotten Son. And I'm challenged tonight. The Lord wants us to be willing to give. He wants us to take action. He wants us to understand that he has a plan for you individually. It's not just this broad cry, everybody go into the world and preach the gospel where everybody ends up. But the Lord knows each one as individuals. And each one of you, only you can affect some of the people that are around you in your sphere of influence. Most people here aren't in the place that you are. Not everybody here comes in contact with all of the people that you do. Everybody here has a unique place, a special place that God wants to use in a wonderful way to bring salvation to somebody that's hurting. The scripture said that Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, in other words, he saw on the other side of the cross, for the joy that was set before him, what did Jesus do? It said he endured the cross, the sacrifice, the pain. And he despised what? The shame that was associated with the gospel message that he brought. Why did he do that? Because he saw around the shame. He saw above the cross. He saw around the sacrifice and saw this potential and capacity for a great family of God, of people who were at one time lost and in need and undone. And he saw there's a joy that if I'm willing to sacrifice, if I'm willing to do this, no, is it just? No, he was unjustly treated. Did he have to? No, he didn't have to. Was he forced to? No, he wasn't. But he chose to do it because he saw the great need that only he could reach. And tonight, every single person that is in here, only you can do certain things. The Lord has a plan that he wants you to do. And so the Lord told us, you all are the light of the world. Let our light so shine before men. Let your light, not just let, well, all the Christian, I hope there's a light that shine. The scripture says, let your light, that means my light, and it means your light, so shine before men. That means shine in a way that when people look at the way you live, their mind and their heart is drawn towards the Lord. That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And you know what else he wants us to do? He wants us to be in season and out of season. The scripture says, be instant in season and out of season. Why is it that it always seems like that it's out of season? Always seems like it's out of season to witness to the lost. Or is that just the way I have felt sometimes in the past? The enemy does everything he can to make it out of season. Well, you know, this is not the right time to really witness too much because it might push him away. You probably ought to wait to a different time. Or, you know, right now they ought to get to know you better before you say a whole lot, because this probably isn't a good time. Or there's only 10 minutes left. That's probably not enough time. Well, you probably won't be able to explain it exactly right now. You might just flub it all up. Why don't you go home and study for a little while, and maybe next time. It's never in season, it feels like, most of the time. The enemy is working against us here tonight. The enemy knows your name too. And the enemy walks along beside each one of us and does whatever he can to try to make it out of season. There's always a more convenient time. Now's the accepted time. Isaiah 6 and 8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for me?" Then said I, "Here am I, send me." But I want you to listen to what it says after that, because I know that you've heard that. You've heard that verse a lot of times. He said, "Here am I, send me." And he said, "Go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. See ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate, and the Lord hath removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. But yet in it shall be a tenth, a remnant, and it shall return, and shall be eaten as a teal tree and as an oak whose substance is in them. When they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. Who is willing to go and preach to the lost house of Israel? You see, the Israelites, they had gone and they had forsaken the Lord, and they had shut their ears and they had closed their eyes. And yet the Lord was faithful to them. He was faithful to the ones that he knew would never open their eyes and never open their ears. And yet he still made the call. And he said, "Whom will I send? Who will go to me to the lost house of Israel? Who's willing to go to a people that are going to shut their ears and shut their eyes and may never listen to the gospel message? Is there anyone out there that's willing to go and do that?" Well, that doesn't sound very romantic. That doesn't sound very fun. How fun is it to go out and take the gospel to a people that don't want to hear the gospel? That's not fun. You get to go home and feel like you failed. You get to go home and feel like, well, maybe I did something wrong. Or you get to preach your heart out. You get to preach your heart out and then feel like everyone went home and got nothing out of it. But the Lord called and he said, "Who's willing to go and preach the gospel regardless of whether or not they'll hear the message? Is there anyone out there that's willing to take my gospel message and preach it?" Are you willing to go tonight and take the gospel to the world? Are you willing to go take a gospel to a world that's going to view you differently? Are we willing to be different? Are we willing to make a fool of ourselves in the eyes of the world? Are we willing to be in the minority? Are we willing to be laughed at? Ridiculed? Are we willing to be viewed as, "That guy over there is crazy. He's simple-minded. He's stuck back in the who knows when." Are you willing? God is calling a people. He is calling for volunteers. The call is going out to this congregation this evening. The Lord wants to reach into the hearts of everyone that is here. And He says, who is willing to go with me to take a gospel message to a people that may never receive it? Who's willing to take a difficult chore? Who's willing to take a difficult job out into the world? Whether it be a savor of life unto life or a savor of death unto death. Who's willing to go and maybe return home every night feeling like it didn't make a difference in anybody's life? But you know it does make a difference. Do you know that people that never turn their heart to the Lord, but you were faithful to bring the gospel to them, there's going to come a time where they stand at the judgment. And because of you, the Lord is going to be able to bring to their minds His faithfulness. I brought the message to you. I brought the gospel to you. I showed you the way of salvation and you neglected it. That's the faithfulness of the Lord. God's plan is that none would be lost, that all would come to repentance. And He goes and He tries to reach out, and He does reach out to the whole world. And the vast majority are not going to subscribe to it. Jesus' own disciples, many of Jesus' own disciples turned away from Him. Jesus, He told them, He said, if you're going to come after me, you're going to have to be willing to drink of my blood. You're going to have to be willing to eat of my flesh. In other words, if you come after me, you're going to have to be willing to take on the life that I live. It's a life of, there is sacrifice, there is self-denial when you compare it to some of the things that the world has to offer. But there's joy and there's fulfillment and there is life in it. And yet the multitudes listened to His message and it said they turned away and they walked with Him no more. There's no better than Jesus Christ to bring the message. I can't bring the message better than Jesus. But the multitudes walked away from Jesus Christ. But are you willing to take? Did he say, well then that's it. I guess I'm going to hang it up. They're walking away from me. No, the Lord continued to be faithful to bring the gospel message. Thank the Lord. All down through the years, even though the Lord said there's just going to be a few that find it. Why? Because it's a mystery? Because there's just a few that are able to comprehend? No. It's because there's just a few that will be willing. And the Lord knew that the vast majority was going to go a different way, but it didn't stop Him from bringing the gospel. And His call tonight is there anyone that's willing to go take the gospel to a world that may not receive you? I want to be willing. I want to be willing. I don't want to get to the end of the way and have my neighbor stand beside me. Lord, help all of us, me included, and be lost. And say, you knew this, but you never said anything. I don't want to be in that place. I don't want to have to say, well, but I heard the way you talked about religion. You cared nothing about the Lord. So I don't want to force it on you. They may never have accepted it even if you did tell them. But I don't want to be in that spot. The Lord's call is going out. Who will go with me? Who will I send? I'm looking around. There's not very many. Who will go with me? But then there's this other side too. Said there was a tenth. There is going to be a remnant. There will be a few. And this evening, you may not be able to reach the many, but you might be able to touch the few. You can make a difference. The Lord's calling for a people who are willing to go make a difference. I've told this story different times. I've been inspired by it. There's a story of a man walking along the beach and there were starfish littered all down the beach. And I remember when I was a boy,
in Oregon seeing that very thing, where the water had washed many, many, many starfish up onto the beach, and then, well, we called it the coast. And then the water went back and left the starfish there to die. And the story goes that there were starfish littered from one end to the other. And a man was walking down the beach, and he'd pick up a starfish and he'd throw it into the water. And he walked a little farther and he'd pick another one up and throw it into the water. And this young man came up to him and said, "Sir, what are you doing?" He said, I'm saving the starfish." And the man looked this way and he looked that way and he saw the many, many multitudes of starfish. And he said, "You can't possibly make a difference with all of this." And the old man walked a little further and he leaned down and he picked up a starfish and he threw it in the water. And he said, "Made a difference to that one. You can make a difference in somebody's life. Eternity lasts a long time. Eternity is infinite. It never ends. Which means that if you can help save one soul, it's of infinite worth. If you can help save one soul, you can make a difference tonight." Seems like we're so quick to find excuses why it's not necessary for me to share the gospel message today, maybe tomorrow. But then tomorrow comes and I haven't. And then a week passes, and then a month passes, and then a year passes, and then years pass with me always waiting for a more convenient time. And then the phone rings. And I find out that somebody that I knew had passed on from this life. Never have an opportunity again to witness to them. Preaching to myself tonight too, because it gets close. We work with people. We have neighbors that are right beside us. You know, sometimes we even come to church with people that need help, that are crying for help. And they're right here among us. But we're somehow inhibited or afraid sometimes. And God is asking us, "Who will I send? Who will go for me?" I'd like to read one other account in the 16th chapter of Luke. "You know this parable well. It said there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which is laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom." And I read this some time back and was struck that in so many ways tonight, we are like the rich man. We are rich in spiritual knowledge. The Lord has given you, as I look over the congregation, I know everyone that's here. And God's blessed all of us that's here tonight with talents of knowledge of the gospel message. We are rich. We're rich. And I read this story one time, and And instead of thinking about monetarily what I could go out and help the poor, I was struck with the thought that we're rich in the things of the Lord. And I wonder how many times we pass by the lost and the needy every day. They're all around us. And we have so much to offer. And yet we pass on by. Sometimes we get to the place where our vision is so lacking that we pass on by and we don't even see them. We don't even recognize the needs that are around us because we're so focused on what I want to do. Oh, I'm trying to live right. I'm trying to make sure my actions are right. But then I lose sight. I lose the vision of all of the lost that are going to spend eternity in hell. What am I doing? And I just go right past him and don't even see him. I've asked this analogy before. How many power poles did y'all see when you drove into church tonight? Anybody take note of the power poles on the road? Anybody see any? Did anybody here see a power pole on the way to church? You passed many, many, many of them. They're all around you on your way to church. But you know what happens? You get so used to seeing them that pretty soon your mind blocks it out and you don't see them anymore. And you just pass right on by. And I wonder how many times the rich man passed by Lazarus and didn't even see him. Because he'd passed by him so many times. It really wasn't what he was looking for. He really didn't have a vision that pertained to that. And so it began to go out of his mind. Didn't even see him. May God help every one of us tonight to get a vision of the people that are in so much need all around us in the world. And that God has a plan and a purpose for every single one of us that are here tonight, which is wonderful in and of itself. God loves you, and He would like you to have a part in His kingdom, a part in His plan of taking the gospel into the world, regardless of whether it's received or not. And I want to pause for a moment and say this to the young married. One of the greatest fields that you have around you will be the teaching of your own children right around your feet. Did you know that if you're not really careful, I've watched this happen. You may have grown up in a home where you had family worship every night. And you heard the gospel and you heard the Bible stories and you have it firmly in your mind. And yet I fear that sometimes in today's age with so much that's going on that people can begin to neglect having family worship consistently every night. Make it a priority. It's important. And then you start to think, well, that your children are going to be formed and framed and their little minds are going to start to understand the same way that you understand and think. But if you don't teach them, if you don't open up the Word of God to them, if you don't live a life that mimics what you're reading them about, they won't get it. And then you wake up too late one day and realize, oh my, they're gone. Time sped by. The window of opportunity passed. Be encouraged, young folks. Those of you that have just been married and you're going to start your families, there is a field of people that have little souls that are going to meet God one day. And God has put them into your care. Be faithful to them. Teach them about Jesus. Live the life in front of them.
Don't neglect it.
And may all of us tonight purpose to invest and pursue in having God anoint our eyes that they would be opened to see the need that is all around us. That we would be open to receive a revelation from God in our own hearts and our own lives, that we could have an understanding of the light so that I can then take the light to a lost world. I want to see souls and people in terms of souls that are going to meet God for eternity. And I want to prioritize my life accordingly. Jesus said it this way in the 4th chapter of John. He said, "Lift up your eyes and look on the fields. They are white and ready to harvest." These are fields in your very own vicinity. Saw a picture one time and it showed Jesus down on his knees in the midst of a field that was ready to harvest. A large field, expanse of wheat ready to harvest. Down on his knees with no one around him, looking up to heaven saying, "Father, the fields, they're ready to harvest. But where are the laborers? Where are the laborers?" God is not looking for forced service tonight. He's looking for volunteers that are willing to go into His work. Are you willing tonight? Are you willing to go? You're needed tonight. You're needed. And I believe that the Lord is calling every one of us tonight by name. He has a plan for us. He has a plan for you. And He wants us to be faithful to it. What is your purpose in life tonight? What is your vision for the lost? Is your vision to open the eyes of those that don't see? To turn them from darkness to light? Is your vision to help deliver souls from the power of Satan unto God, that they might receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith, which is in me? Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for me?" And Isaiah said, "Hear my Lord, send me." May God help us each one tonight to be faithful to His call. Amen.